This morning we're going to be in Acts chapter 20, and it will be our last passage, at least with the concerted effort to contemplate the idea of false teachers and false teachings and those things together. If you remember, we began January in the book of Deuteronomy where God says, when false dreamers arise, he said to his people, I may be testing you. I'm going to see if you're willing to follow the lies, to see if you really do love me, to see if you do seek me as a precious jewel. Second Sunday, we looked at 2 Timothy, and we took a little bit of a turn, probably one that made us a little more uncomfortable, because when we talk about false teachers, we're supposed to be talking about the bad people, when in 2 Timothy, though, the warning is to the people who are raising up teachers that will tell them what they want to hear. And you know, the operative phrase out of that passage is itchy ears. You want people to regurgitate to you something that makes you feel good, something that doesn't convict you, something that just sounds good. Can't we all just sing kumbaya and get along? Oh, when the word calls for it, yes. But we are to be warned about seeking those who tell us simply what we want to hear rather than what we need to hear. Last week we looked from Isaiah 30 and began to change that dime and turn it just a little bit in a different facet. And it is this: beware of those who try to eliminate the truth. There are those who want to confound the truth. They don't want you having anything solid to step on. We saw a great reversal in our nation this week. Somebody finally able to say, there's only two genders, it's male and female, and that's the way it's going to be. And that's all it is. We can look in here in this room, there are no puppy dogs, there are no kitty cats, there are human beings. And you're one of two. You're either a man or a woman. There's no other options. Now, if you want to pretend, have fun, play games in your head, that's fine. Don't ask me to engage with you in your fantasy. People want to create their own truth. And so they were telling the false teachers, don't tell us about God. And if you don't want to hear about God, you might as well go ahead and leave right now, okay? Because you're going to hear about him. Go ahead and go. If you don't want to hear the truth, go ahead and go. But that's what was the problem. They wanted someone to lie to them. Go figure. Tell me lies. Somebody even wrote a song about that, huh? Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. And when you grow up with a hearing problem, that's all I know. If you say, what's the rest of the song, Brother Luke? I have no clue. I've never looked up the lyrics. But I know that part. And I may have seen it growing up watching commercials on TV when they played the songs from the 70s and songs from the 80s. Order now and you get not just one, but you get two LPs. I date myself originally. Then it switched to cassettes. Then you could ask for a cassette or LP. And then the big change came. We went to small LPs. Y'all know them as CDs and DVDs, but it's just a record. It's just on a smaller version. No, most people skipped 8-tracks. There was a certain subset of people that went 8-track, but most of us stayed with cassettes the whole way through. Do what? You knew you were special. Recommendation to everybody else, when the little yellow bus shows up, it's just for Peggy. But where I left off with before we chased a big rabbit there is that people want to be told lies. People want to be told they're okay. Really, we need to know the truth. And if we're not big enough to handle the truth, then we need to go home and grow up. Go back and tell our parents, you failed me. You didn't teach me to want truth. All I wanted was cookies and milk. I need you to teach me to want truth. And so that is where we're going to leave that off this morning as we move into our new passage. Now you get to listen in mostly on Paul's words to your pastor. But out of this passage, it's going to cause all of us to think and ask once again, do those who stand on the rooftops and proclaim a warning trouble you? Do they trouble me? Do those who are constantly saying, be careful, watch out, something doesn't pass the sniff test, something doesn't feel right, my gut doesn't have an easy feeling about this, do those people bother you? in that regard. Now, a quick overview. We're in Acts chapter 20, and I'm just going to give you a summation of 17 through 27. Paul is outside of Ephesus, and he calls the people, the elders of Ephesus, to come out to him. Now, in his life, he is headed back to Jerusalem, and from Jerusalem, he's going to take a long, arduous journey to Rome. Willingly, he's willing to go wherever God wants him to go, but he's going to go to Rome under arrest. Eventually, he will get there. At this point, he knows that's right around the corner. He knows he's about to leave, and so he's trying to prepare the Ephesian elders for his absence. Kind of like, you know, when parents, if you leave your 14-year-old home alone in charge for the first time, you might even write out a list of things. Do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. And you might even give them a warning. I'm watching, I'll know. In today's world, you can, because we got cameras everywhere. But anyway, they don't have cameras. But Paul calls in verse 17, the elders out to him, and he begins to tell them about these things. He even goes so far to say, I've finished my course. He knows his end is coming, and so he is wanting to prepare the Ephesian leadership for his absence. In verse 28, now we're going to pick up directly what he warns them about. And in verse 28, he uses this phrase, take heed. Now, he's talking to the leadership. Remember, he called the elders. That word for elders there is where we get presbytery from. So these are, it's a leadership position. It describes how they are to rule. And we'll see something else a little further in verse 28 here shortly. But he tells them to take heed, to beware, to be on guard. If you heard a snowstorm was coming and you didn't get some extra food, just in case, shame on you. It's not like we didn't know. Social media was abuzz with it for 2 weeks before we actually even knew it would come to fruition. A hurricane. Well, I'll wait till I see if it hits before I go worry about water. That's too late. And in our house, it's pretty much on June 1st, Luke goes and buys a lot of water. And I know if somebody ever saw him coming out there, he's either really thirsty or he knows something we don't know. Well, I know this. If I go ahead and buy 8 cases, we will begin to drink it. And if one does appear on the horizon, I'm only having to buy 1 or 2 then. I'm not having to buy 8 to last for as long as time we would need to. Prepare to be on guard. They were warning us not to drive on Tuesday. Don't drive on Wednesday. Most Bluffians can't drive when the pavement's dry. I did want to go to David's house and do the polar plunge again, but I wasn't willing to get out on the road with the potential people out there riding. I already did it once. Once you can do it once, you can. Yes, you could. Yes, you could. Your pastor is telling you, yes, you could. Polar plunge is fun. You need to try it one of these days. Anyway, where was I going with that? Oh, people can't drive. And so we were warned. And then some people had to find out the hard way. Run off in the ditches. Run stop signs. Because they didn't heed the warning. Our tires that we buy down here are not ice and snow rated. It would be kind of silly for us to buy tires that are ice and snow rated. It's been since 1973 that we had a big dust-up like we had. I was a little kid. They call it a once every 50 years. If you're buying snow tires for something that may happen every 50 years, you're wasting a lot of money. Now, if you move to Idaho with Derek, you're probably going to need snow tires at least 2 or 3 times in the year, okay? In Arkansas, they have snow tires because of their mountainous area. You got to be able to drive up and down, and they don't quit going to work when they get what we got. They're like, that's just... And the people up north couldn't figure out why we were staying home after 4 inches of snow. They were all scratching their heads. But anyway, people were warned, stay off the road. Well, if you got out on the road running into the ditch, I'm going to be one of those if I walked up to you and say, what'd you expect to happen? You drove like you normally drive, and you thought everything would be okay. And it's not when there's snow and ice on the road. It is not. Now, Paul's warning here, he is not warning you. He's warning me. He's warning the leadership that I'm supposed to take heed, that I'm supposed to be on guard, that I'm supposed to be aware of what's going on. I'm not supposed to live with my head stuck in the sand. I am to take heed for myself. And then he says, I am to take heed to all the flock. So I'm supposed to be beware for you. Not of you. For you. I'm supposed to be warning you when something's on the horizon. Don't fall for it. So the next email you get, some Nigerian prince has just left you $500 million and all you got to do is send him $1,000 to pay for the suitcase to get it to you. It's never coming. Some of you, and this is fascinating. I actually know that all of my material was stolen because now I've gotten a third report from a company that they had my information and it was hijacked. And I already knew it before it ever got there because I've been getting these emails. Has a picture of where I live. Has my cell phone number. And it begins this way. We know what you've been doing. We know what you've been looking at on the internet. And I'm thinking, really? Well, they didn't ask me if I got saved, but they would know Bible Hub is a very important part of my internet life. If I will send them $1,900 in bitcoins, they won't let y'all know what I've been doing. Bitcoins is one of the... All of my information has been hijacked. And if you get that, don't freak out. Don't worry. But guess what? Some people are. How do I know that? Because if you go to the bank in the drive-thru, they got a big old letter up. If you're trying to cash a check or if somebody set this scenario up, don't do it. And why did they have to put that up? Because people come in there trying to get money out of their accounts to do it. And even after they warn them, some of them persist. And they know they're about to lose their money. They're being scammed. Now, Paul tells the Ephesian elders here to beware for myself and beware to all the flock. Now, if I'm not looking out for myself, how can I look out for you? Can I rephrase the question? If you go to a doctor and he's got a Coke in one hand, a donut in the other, and he's telling you you need to lose weight, are you going to take him serious? I wouldn't. We wouldn't do it at all, would we, Ted? We look to people who try to embody, who try to live what they're teaching. How would you like someone to rescue you from drowning that is just learning how to swim? I'd take my chances on my own, right? The elders, first and foremost, have to watch out for themselves. I have to beware. I have to be vigilant. I've got to be on guard. And there may be times where if you were to observe some of the things I think, because I can begin to talk to my wife and her eyes just can kind of glaze over on some things just because of what I'm watching. I can be watching a movie just kind of out of the corner of my eye. She likes to watch movies. I really don't care for movies because there's always an agenda. There's always an agenda. And so I begin to pick these agendas apart. And she's like, really? It's just a movie. I mean, but that's just a part of my nature. I'm always looking for what's the scam? What's on the side? What are you not telling me? Why are you waving your hand over here? I'm trying to watch your hand over here. Don't put it behind a curtain. I want to see what this hand is doing because you're trying to get me to look over here and this is what I'm supposed to be looking at. If it gets past the pulpit, it makes sense that it would get to the people. Or in using this passage, if it can get past the shepherd, it can get to the sheep. See, one of your biggest things you should pray about your pastor for is, Lord, give him discernment. Help him to see. Help him to understand. Help him to know. And it's okay if you amen there, but I'll move on. Take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock. Now notice this, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. You may have called me by a vote, but according to Paul, it was the Holy Spirit that put me here. So if you got a problem with what the Holy Spirit has done, who should you be talking to? The Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't make me untouchable. I've tried to, it's an oxymoron here. I've tried to pound it into your head, and that's so not what's supposed to be going on there, but I've tried to pound it into you. I am not untouchable. I am one of you. I was out in the snow on Tuesday trying to figure out how to make the powder stick. I can tell you, a spray bottle, it works, but it doesn't. It takes you 4 hours to get a foot off the ground. And when you're done, it's not a snowman anymore. It's an iceman because it gets rock hard. I was out there. I'm playing in it. I got up 2 o'clock Tuesday morning. Well, I got up right before 2 because when I got up, it wasn't doing anything. I was like, ice pellet. Woof. I've seen ice pellets here. I'm not staying up for that. I slept through the good stuff where the wind was blowing it sideways. But I'm one of y'all. I'm not untouchable. But yet I have a given responsibility by God to watch over you that place yourself here. I have a responsibility, and Paul is reminding them, the Holy Spirit has put you in charge, and if He is the one that has put me in charge, who am I going to answer to? Not you. You don't scare me. He troubles me. Because He knows only what I say, but He knows what I think and He knows what I feel. There's nothing He says that will not be revealed. All things hidden will be revealed. Sometimes that troubles me. Take heed to yourselves. Look over the flock. The Holy Spirit has made me overseer, and I'm going to come back to that word. And here's what He says to the pastors, to the elders, to feed the church of God, to feed you. Now, He's not talking about fish and loaves, although if you are going hungry, all you got to do is say, Brother Luke, there's nothing on my table, my refrigerator's empty, and my pantry's empty. And if it's because you're too lazy to go to Walmart, I'm going to tell you, I'll take you there. But if it's because things in life have come completely undone, I'll invite you to my table. You're not going to get black-eyed peas, Brother John, but you will have good food. I can promise you that. You'll get something good to eat. But to feed the flock, He's taking earthly terms and elevating them with a spiritual truth, kind of like snow, not powder snow, not sticking together. What you sinned is no longer sticking to you. God's removed it. In elevating this, it is the overseer's responsibility to feed the church of God. I've got an obligation to make sure that I present to you God's word, God's food. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. His word is food. Where there is no vision, the people perish. That's not talking about a building program. That means where God's word is not proclaimed, the people die. You starve to death when God's word is not given to you. And it's fair to say I give you a heaping helping on Sunday mornings. If you're looking for fast food, don't come to my drive-thru. Now notice what He says about the flock. The flock is the church of God. That's the called out ones of God. You're not the world. You don't belong to the world. You don't belong to me. You belong to Him. You're not my church. And occasionally I've caught myself and I slip up there and I say, my church. And you're not my church. You're His church. And I'm responsible to Him for you, His, which He has purchased with His own blood. The shepherd, under shepherd, didn't do that. The good shepherd did. You're never to follow and worship a pastor. And if that can actually happen, you got a snake. Because you're supposed to be led to worship who? The Lord. The one that gave Himself for you. He purchased you by His own blood. We talk about the cross. Jesus had to die. He had to give His blood in order for you to be washed as white as snow. You couldn't do it yourself. Even your own death wouldn't atone for your sin. It is by the blood of Jesus that you and I are made whole. So going back, and this is just a little bit of side theology here. Back in verse 17, the word elder is used. That's presbytery. In verse 28 here, the word overseer is used, and this is bishop. And so if you're reading in the King James and you go to like 1 Timothy, the qualities of a bishop are, that's this word here where he says overseers. And then to feed is where we get the word to pastor. And so this is why, traditionally speaking, and I know tradition is a loaded term, but this is why typically in a Baptist church, you don't find the plurality of elders. You find a pastor, and he fulfills the role of presbytery, of elder, overseer, and pastor. Now, this does not mean he cannot have men come alongside of him. In fact, what is Brother Luke praying for right now? Who remembers? A pastoral advisory committee, men to come alongside of me so that I can have y'all preach and I sit home and work on getting my jet, Brother Jim. That's not it at all. It's not even to get people to fill in for me. It's men that I can take into a room and say, I need to bounce some ideas off of you. And know, number one, that it stays in this room. Number two, though, that your responses aren't responses of the flesh, but what the Spirit would guide us to do. And if I don't have that, you got the Lord, Brother Luke, and I think the Lord can watch over us when we have that kind of a situation, but that's not a... Lone wolves, lone rangers don't do good by themselves. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. Try to barbecue on one piece of charcoal. You're not going to get enough fire to even do a chicken leg. Next time you're barbecuing this, for those of you who still use charcoal, though, take that one coal, just one of them, and set him off by himself and watch him in relationship to the others. This one's going to go out and grow cold. These are going to keep burning hot. I'm needing some extra charcoal. Moving on. That's just your fun theology for the day. Why is Paul telling the leadership this? Because in verse 29, here is what he is warning them about. Paul says, I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. There's a problem. There are people on the outside that would like to get their presence inside to tear you down to what they are, to take advantage of you, to rip you off, to buy a jet. What did a pastor at Westside Baptist Church need a jet for? Can we lower our ambitions and go for a fishing pole? Now, I don't need a fishing pole. Don't anybody give me a fishing pole. I got plenty of fishing poles, but it's just a little inside bantering back and forth. But that's the it. They simply see the people to be merchandised. You ever feel that way about the healthcare? You're just merchandised. They really don't. Would they even know you if they saw you in general public? I'm one of them that the bank I go to, I go inside and talk to the people over the counter. I don't want a bank that I get to talk to a computer. I don't want a bank that you can't even see a person. So Capital One, you ain't getting me. You ain't getting in my wallet. Ain't happening because you can't get a real person. I want a real person. I want someone that I can trust who's not going to leave me wrong in the financing that I do with them. Because there are people out there that do want to take advantage of you. And we're talking about other people besides just the Nigerian prince, okay? Man, that dude's got a lot of money to give away if he's... There was a guy on... And I'm on X. There's a guy on X this morning. For the next 25 people who send me a private notification, I will give them $15,000. I was so close. If I could just know what would happen when I hit their link, who couldn't use extra $15,000? How many people do you think legitimately are willing just to randomly to 15 strangers on social media, I got $15,000 for you? So whether it was discretion or just because I was scared and not brave enough or whether it was I wasn't foolish enough, whatever the case may be, I didn't click on it. Because not everybody out there that says they've got your best interest at heart has your best interest at heart. There are wolves that would love to devour you and lead you wrong. You know, Jesus ain't enough. You got to have Jesus, plus you got to do enough and hope that even at the end, all of that works together to get you to heaven. And that's not what we sung. That's not even what we sung. That is why the songs we use are important. Because those songs this morning especially taught us what? It's by Christ's righteousness. It's by His blood that I'm saved, that I'm made whole. And anything else other than that is a lie. It's not true. You don't go to heaven because of who you are. You go to heaven because of who Jesus is and what He did on your behalf. If I want to be really theologically correct on this, I'm going to tell you that He died in your place as substitutionary atonement by name even. He knew you and He took your place. It's not how the wolves usually enter in, though. They go for your emotions, which can be a bad thing or a good thing that I'm not overly emotional. Now, I'm supposed to be because we're going to slap me, okay? On one of these verses coming, there's a slap to your preacher. I'm just going to tell you, I know it's coming. But if you come to me just whining and crying, I'm going to be like, what you need? If you got tears running down your face and I'm a totally oblivious to what's going on in your life, my first thing is, what's up? Hey, Brother Luke, you're not going to cry with me? Not until I know what we're crying about. If you're crying because you got caught, I'm probably not going to cry with you. Now, you did something wrong, you got busted, and now you're scared to death, you're going to jail. Why would I cry over you about that? I'm probably going to slap you in the back of the head and say, knucklehead. You've been sitting here for how long listening to me and you thought you would get away with that? Everything we do is recorded. Your cars. I don't have anything in my car. Yes, you do. All of our cars have little black boxes now, which is why they did the cash for clunkers. They wanted to get the vehicles out of the system that don't have the electronics in the system. So now, even though you may not know where you've been, that little box will even tell them how fast you were going before you applied the brakes, how hard you applied the brakes, when you applied the brakes. You ain't getting away with nothing. And the first time they broke into the church, they got away with something a little bit. It was more obnoxious that you got to go back and fix doors and stuff. Now, I got their pictures. You show up at our church at a wrong time, I got your picture. Yeah, but I'm going to knock your camera down. Good luck. Because when you go for one camera, I got another one watching that camera. You ain't big enough to get them both at the same time. And besides that, now there's this neat little thing called the cloud, where everything that we talk on our phones and our cameras, they don't stay here anymore. Into the ether. You can't erase the ether. Even though there are companies that will tell you, we will erase you from the internet, you notice it's always for a what? A nice fee. But it's not a one-time thing either. You got to keep it up for 2 and 3 years in order for them to keep on top of it. That's another issue for another time. But my point being, if you thought you could get away with something in this day and age, I'm not going to cry with you. Although, I'm totally losing my path, but that's okay. We were walking out of Walmart yesterday, and we always show the little guy, and he's used to seeing us, but I always pull out my receipt and show him. Told my wife, I said, you know what? I would like to be one of those sneaky little guys they hire to try to get past the cameras and the self-checkouts, because I think I found a way to get some things past it. Yeah, I don't want to do it to be wrong, but I want to do it just to see if I could without getting in trouble. So if anybody from Wally World's listening and you can give me a special card that says I can try to get past your security, I would love to be hired by you because it's a cat and mouse game. But is that not what it is in general life? It's a cat and mouse, but we do that spiritually. What can I get away with? What can I sneak away with? You can pull the wool over my eyes, but you can't pull over the God's eyes. But what is Paul telling the pastors here? Don't be fooled by wolves. There are people out there that really, spiritually, want to tear you down. They don't want you having hope. They don't want you being at peace. They want you tied up in knots, because if they can get you tied up in knots, they can manipulate you and get you to purchase, here's a bucket of food that'll last you for a month. Buy 12 of them, that'll supply you. Buy one for each family member, and you'll have enough for the whole year when everything goes south. I haven't ever bought a bucket, but I probably don't want to eat everything that's in the bucket. Fascinating piece of trivia. The government wants to come to your house and take your gold. They did it before. What's going to stop them from doing it again? I got my gun. Yeah, I'll see you in heaven. You showed them. Our hope is not to be found in what we can do. And see, that's what they want to get you to do. They want to get your eyes off Jesus. Your hope is in the Lord. My hope is in the Lord. Not the pastor. The Lord. If I can get you to trust in the Lord no matter where you go and no matter what you face, you know you got it. Because the Lord's with you. Now, look, I'll come walk with you. You get busted. You did something you shouldn't have done. I'll sit with you. I'll stand right there next to you when they charge you. I will sit there with you. But if you're walking in obedience, you know this, the Lord will always be with you. What does he say? I promised never to leave you nor forsake you. Well, he didn't say I promise, right? He might. No, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God's word is true. He doesn't lie. Wolves, people on the outside are going to want to get into you. And that is why at times I warn you about music. I warn you about books. And you're like, where in the world did he come up with those things? Because that's what I'm supposed to be aware of. I'm supposed to warn you. The fad is moving and everybody wants to chase the fad. I'm going to be like, what's wrong with the fad? If everybody's wanting to do the fad, something's probably wrong with it. Typically, if everybody wants it, something's up. Not all the time, but most of the time. That's why I've warned you about specific people, specific teachers, specific books at times. They're going to take advantage of you. They're going to lead you down a path that's wrong. I can tell you this, at least on the day of judgment, you ain't going to be able to say, but God, Brother Luke, never told me. God's going to say, don't peddle that here. You didn't want to listen. And sometimes that's when I seem to be belligerent to some of you. Because I talk about people that you like to listen to. I talk about songs that you really like the singers. And I can say this unequivocally. You see a Christianette singer and she stands up to raise her hands to praise the Lord and you can almost see this. There's a problem. You realize even in the Old Testament under God's law, they were never to use an elevated platform lest when the man went up, you might take a peek underneath his gown. What do you think God's going to think of if a woman raises her hand and there ain't much left to the imagination? Yeah, but her voice is so... You wouldn't drink a Coke if it tasted bad. It's that sweet taste that just draws you in. Donuts! Who doesn't love a good donut? Where's Tammy needs to be here today. We all need a donut, right? They're closed. We all need a good donut. Too many donuts do what? Clog your arteries, give you diabetes, make you have to go buy new pants. So you never heard me tell you don't eat a donut, don't drink a Coke. I'm just telling you, you're not supposed to be controlled by that. You're supposed to control what you put in your mouth. But I don't want to hear that, Brother Luke. Then don't listen to me preach. It's real simple. Because the Word of God does tell us that we are to be people of self-control. And I have an obligation to feed you spiritually and warn you, you are supposed to practice self-control. Not just about food, but about everything. There's going to be trouble from the outside. That's usually not the issue. Verse 30 is the problem. And also of your own selves shall men arise. Now notice, he's looking at the elders. This is wild. Paul is looking at these men in the eye. Men in the eye. There are some in your midst when I'm gone who are going to begin to bring in things to lead people away. See now why I'm kind of suspicious of other pastors? Till I get to know them. I mean, there are even some, I'll tell you, go shake hands with them. You know exactly what I'm talking about? It's like shaking hands with a used car salesman. And just when you're like, What? Am I the only one? Dadgum. I mean, that's just kind of like, I don't know, something ain't right here. And it ain't because he had a soft handshake. Listen, some people think, how come Brother Luke don't shake hands real hard? Because there are ladies and there are older ladies and some older men that when they walk out, they don't want their hand broke. And it's easier for me just to say, light handshake with everybody. If you want to get tough and we want to play who can break each other's hand, you let me know. We'll go away where nobody has to see who hands get broke. But I'm not talking about a light handshake. I'm talking about the one when you shake hands and you're like, they're just bluffing me. Let's go back to the Red Scare when everybody was a communist. Would it be possible that there could even be some goats among the sheep here today? You heard the hush. You heard it get quiet real quick, huh? I mean, let's all look around and see who's the goat. Well, Jesus did tell us that the enemy does sow tare among the wheat. He does it to cause problems for the farmer, and so he gets out there and he sows weeds. Paul warns, he says, there are going to be those that rise of your own. We need to show wisdom and discernment even amongst people that claim to be what we are. You need to show wisdom and discernment when you're listening to me. How do you know I'm not playing a long game? Now, ain't nobody got patience to play a game that long. Really? How long is our game for chess taking right now, Braden? I've even lost count. It's probably like 2 or 3 weeks, maybe 4. We have a long game going on. I'm patient. I like to fish. Notice I said didn't catch. I like to fish. I can sit there and throw 1,000 casts. Each cast is, I'm going to catch something. And if it doesn't, I'm throwing back. I'm playing the long game. I'm intending that one of these casts is going to pull something in the boat, and hopefully they'll be big and rambunctious like that one you tied into. Man, we got the redfish slayer back here. Man, if you need to go catch some trophy redfish, we got a church member in our midst that knows what he's doing. And a guy holds up a fish like this. The long game. You have an obligation to open your Bibles and see if what I taught is true. And you have no excuse because there are Bibles on your phone, there's Bibles on your computers, there's Bibles in the pew. And I guarantee you this, if you can't even find the passage, somebody next to you will find it for you. You even ask me. We're on page 188 this morning. Why? Because they want to speak things, perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. I don't want you to be like me. I want you to be like Jesus. I want you to encourage me to be like Jesus, but I don't want you to be like me. We'll all be hard of hearing, can't see, and grumpy old people. Ride with me. I'll show you. I want you to be like Jesus. That's who we're aiming for. That's be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Not to Luke, but to the Lord. Now watch this. So he tells them in verse 31, therefore watch. And remember, again, he's talking to the leadership. Watch means to be on the lookout. And remember. Can't remember something you've never done. You can't remember something you've never put in. Which means if I'm going to remember, I'm supposed to be aware. And the moment that I don't teach to you from this, it's the time for you to say, Lord, what's the problem? I am supposed to, the leadership is supposed to, you should demand that the shepherd watches and remembers what Paul says, that by the space of 3 years, I did not stop warning you. Every one of you. He says, for 3 years, I tried to prepare you. That's a long time. Think the people's ears didn't get a little heavy after the first 2 years? We get tired of hearing the same warning, don't we? We hear the warning long enough and we just kind of dismiss it, kind of like the joke that runs about people's smoke alarms. There are some people, they've been listening to their smoke alarm beep for so long, they don't even know their smoke alarm beeps anymore. And you know, if you change the battery, you can get rid of that beep. What beep? Well, they've gotten callous to it. Now, some of you are thinking, I wonder if my smoke alarm been beeping. Your battery probably went bad because you didn't change it back when the time changed. Trump's going to run everything if he doesn't make the time change keep happening every year, right? Now, I'm one of those who would like to see it stay put. But you know, all of us who change our batteries when the time change happens, we're going to be in a world of trouble. How are we going to know when to change our batteries? Are we going to have to get official? Do what? January 1st, but we're supposed to change it in March, and we're supposed to change it in November. I can't remember that. But like that little incessant beeping, maybe some of y'all have that little squeak on your car that you initially were like, what's that sound? And then after a little while, you're just like, oh, I'll just dismiss it. Fascinating. And I know I've invited y'all to come up here and sit when nobody else is here. The church has been making some noises a lot lately. I mean, has your house been doing that, Brother John? Man, this thing is making sounds I haven't heard. I'm like, what's happened? I get up and go look to see if somebody's here. And then I thought, well, maybe that earthquake in Shreveport reached down to us. Some of our doors ain't even shutting right anymore. And I'm like, I didn't see Randy hanging on it, so I know it wasn't Randy's fault. See, but there are a lot of things that we put out of our mind. And Paul says, don't you do that to the leadership. Watch. Remember, it's ongoing. It's not a one-time event. It's a perpetual. Paul said, I didn't stop warning every one of you. I did it night and day. Now, the next part's my weakness. What's the last words there he uses, at least in the King James? There's two words that I didn't read. With tears. You see, I've got this little wild streak that runs through me. You want to reach out and touch a hot stove? Go ahead. You want to play in the street? And I've warned you, not safe? Go ahead. Paul doesn't say that. Paul said the people got tired, but he said, I kept warning them. Day and night, so much so that he shed tears over it. Now, this is the harder part for me because very seldom do I ever shed tears. Just, I am such a piece of stone, I did not cry at my dad's funeral. I've come close to breaking down in church members' funerals. I didn't come close to breaking down in my dad's, and it wasn't because I was glad to see him go. It was a whole nother thing going on. I almost lost it completely at my daughter's wedding. That one snuck up on me. I didn't know that one was coming. That was rough. So even necessarily, let's say Paul's not saying you got to be a crier, because we also know there are a lot of people out there, they can turn on them crocodile tears and make... How about if we, with passion? Do I warn you with passion? Do I warn you with emotion? In other words, am I willing to sit there and watch you do it without jumping up and down and screaming, don't go there? Or am I content just to sit back, the quiet watchman that never warns the people because there is no investment in them? You see, I don't like seeing any of you fall, or breaking under tribulation. I kind of take it personal. Lord, what could I have taught them better that they would have been able to stand firm? Can I pick on you just a little bit? I'm looking at you, Miss Peggy. Last Sunday morning, Mama was really upset because son was supposed to be flying in the midst of a snowstorm in Louisiana, southwest Louisiana. I don't know about Chenault, but I'm probably doesn't take much to convince me that our little airport is not prepared for snow and ice. Our DOTD is not really prepared. And it's because it just doesn't happen. It would be pointless for us to own a fleet of snowplows. Their tires would dry rot before we got to use them. So we got 15,000 gallons of de-icer at the airport. For what? But Mama was kind of troubled because the airline wasn't cooperating with her desire at that point to get him moved to a better time. And she was kind of troubled. And she even admitted on Sunday night she had been really troubled. And part of me inside wants to go, "Don't you listen to what I'm trying to teach you?" Because if I'm not living in sin, then anything that happens that I think goes wrong had to have stemmed from somewhere else, but not within me. And if that's the case, it's not because I have done something wrong. It's a challenge to my faith. Now, am I going to rise up in faith and believe God? Or am I going to yield to the ice and the snow? Derek's sitting here safe because unbeknownst to her, they were already changing their plans while she was sitting in church after we had prayed. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like eating crow. What if I gave God 24 more hours before I freaked out? What if I took it to God like the Old Testament kings and said, "Lord, here's the letter that bad Assyrian sent me. You see what he's telling me?" God took care of them that very night. Because I do take it personal when your faith doesn't shine through. Because my goal is to not have a bunch of little babies crawling around in diapers on the floor in church. My goal is that if the Lord decided to take me out of the middle of a sermon, your problem is not what do we do with the body, it's who's going to keep preaching where he was standing. Fascinating stories from the Civil War. You could probably tell me more than I know. A general will be riding, a colonel, officer gets shot off his horse, gets taken down by a bullet. Nobody ever stopped and said, "Oh, what do we do?" They stepped up in and just led. I mean, we watched the movies, the guy carrying the flag. He'd get knocked down, and when do we feel that sense of pride for him? When somebody else grabs it, and they got this wild look in their eyes, and they keep charging forward? Am I wrong? And that's where we're like, "Yeah! Go get them, tiger!" Right? That should be the way in every event in our lives. You're sitting next to people. Maybe your flag gets knocked out of your hand. Wouldn't it be great somebody else comes up and grabs that flag with you and says, "Let's run, Jim." After they took care of you. How about we leave somebody behind to take care of with you, but we want to see that flag just keep on going. My desire for you would be, if I had, instead of, you know, I don't have any out right now. There's no season to give out the little pamphlets. I still have them in the back, but there's nothing fresh and new right now. But if I put out a thing of water pistols and say, "Guys, we're going to go attack hell. Grab a water pistol." I wonder how many would disappear. See, the quiet answers the question. So y'all think preaching, I'm preaching at you. You have no clue. I'm engaging you in conversation, and that is why I look at you. It's not because I'm trying to pick on you personally, and even though some people at times think that, he's calling me out. No, if I'm calling you out, you're going to know I called you out, okay? Right, Peggy? Amen, yep. If I could erase that from your vocabulary. Anyway. Not because I'm not aware that there are things out there that want to destroy us. But I'd like to see you live your life so on the edge in faith that should you die in the midst of battle, you're charging out there to the fight, and the next thing you know, you're charging into the throne room, and God says, "Welcome home, my servant. Well done." See, that's not something I just want to hear for myself. I'd like to be standing next to you, and God says, "You done good, Peggy. You done good, Jim." And that's why I do what I do. That's why I preach the way I preach. That's why sometimes you're like, "He done lost his place. He's repeating himself." No, it's not because I lost my place. I'm quite aware when I repeat myself. Paul said, "I warned them day and night." Paul repeated himself too. Jesus repeated himself, but what do you know about us? We're stiff-necked people. We're hard-hearted. We want what we want. And sometimes it takes a lot of telling to get it through our heads. So you may not see a tear, but don't you doubt this. When you're facing your trouble, I feel it. And if you choose not to have me there, I can't change that. But if you say, "Brother Luke, would you stand with me?" I will be there. I was able to hear a story yesterday. A pastor here in the area is retiring. He's elderly. His wife is not of the best of health. And one of the guys stood up from their church, their congregation, to share a story, because they were sharing lots of stories, some funny. The guy's wife was in trouble, and so he called the pastor's home. The pastor wasn't there. The pastor's wife answered the phone, and he told the pastor's wife, "Nobody needs to come up here. Just pray." Pastor gets home. His wife tells him the guy called, and here's what the guy called. The pastor calls the guy back. And the guy tells the pastor, "I don't need you here. Just pray." The pastor said, and this is the guy's testimony, he said to me on the phone, "Will you run me away if I show up?" Now, what some of y'all haven't realized is it's happening before COVID, but COVID has changed things. And some of you have such secret and private lives, you don't even want anybody to know you went to the hospital. There's times when I don't know whether to show up or sit out. I don't. That's where our world has taken us. Society has changed us in that degree. And it's not that they want to suffer in silence. They've got their reasons for wanting privacy, but it creates an issue for me. The old days, you know, the pastor was supposed to be for everything. You're getting a hangnail removed. You called the pastor and he sat there with you. You know what I'm saying? The pastor was there for everything. He ain't there for everything. But I can tell you this. You ask me to be there, I will. Sometimes I show up uninvited. I try not to do that too often because I really don't want to make enemies. But if you ask me, I'll be there. And if you've been living the life of a knucklehead, I'm probably going to slap you in the back of the head. Right, Peggy? That's why you have neck problems. You know, the slaps will stop if... Be careful with false teachers. God may be testing you. Be careful when you find yourself listening to false teachers. Is it because you have itching ears and you really don't want to hear the truth? You'd rather hear a lie than the truth. Or do you have great expectations like Paul had here to the Ephesian elders? That you want a shepherd who's going to watch for you. Who cares if you're safe or not? I'm not a fix-it-all. I try to fix a lot, but I can't fix everything. But I care about you. You're a little bit easier to care about. And I'm not complaining, but she's going to call me. She's going to text me. She's going to get news to me somehow, some way. She's going to do it. It's really easy for me to know what expected of there. If you don't let me know and somebody tells me, I'm not going to knock on your door. I might be praying for you and I might care about you, but if you didn't let me know, I'm figuring you don't want me to know. But don't think that I don't care. Because like I said, this is the one that slaps me. Ain't one of you ever seen me cry over you. I'll give you a shiny nickel if you have. Dry eyes, though, don't mean I don't have heavy hearts. I can be what you need me to be, what I'm supposed to be. But if you choose not to invite me in, please understand it's not because I wouldn't stand with you or stand by you. It's just we're in a different time and a different age. And I will respect that should you do that. I'm going to warn you. You keep coming to Westside, I'm going to warn you. I'm going to repeat myself. Sometimes 15 times in one sermon. But I'm going to warn you. But above all else, should anything else fail, this should not. There's only one way you will be saved. And that's by faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins, who was buried, who was resurrected 3 days later. And listen, he's coming back. He's coming back visibly. He's coming back noisily. There's going to be a trumpet sound. He's coming back personally. And all who have died in faith, he's bringing them in the clouds to catch us up, to meet him in the air, to save us from the wrath to come. That's a core doctrine. If that ever fails from this pulpit, you don't have my permission to leave. You've got a warning. You should have been running already. Be careful who you listen to. Father,